Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if nothing else, we're going to learn a lesson that will be indelibly placed upon our hearts, even in our conscience, in the way that we respond to crisis from this point forward. And Lord, I realize we live in a degenerate world of all the types of things that sometimes we feel that our own safety is at risk when we try to reach out in compassion. But Lord, there's something you're going to install in us today that will be immovable, that will allow us, the Holy Spirit, to discern in us the times when we're to be thrust into action. But today, Lord, we have an opportunity to learn from your scriptures. So Holy Spirit, be our guide and be our director. And we give all the praise and the honor and the glory to you. So we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Whether you realize it or not, we are being or have been robbed of one of the most precious commodities that's been granted to us as human beings. And there's just a reason why that we can kind of deny that this no longer exists, or we longer do things the way we used to do them. Because one of the number one things on everyone's mind right now is safety. Matter of fact, in churches and other particular places where that really wasn't a concern before, it's really pretty much on the forefront of folks' minds. That being the case, it's far too easy to blame technology for access to information through Google, but rather it's a choice to either engage ourselves with the reality of feeling anything that would put us in touch with humaneness of compassion and the desire to connect with things that really matter to us and to others. We're stunted. We're basically anesthetized against feeling because of the very threat that it imposes upon us as humans. The conversation we're going to have today, the word of God to us today, is going to really dig deep. It's dug deep in me, and I hope I can just transfer that to you as we talk about it. Number one thing is, first of all, have you found yourself being incapable of allowing yourself to feel compassion and emotion toward people in situations that affect them by detaching yourself from things that once used to get your attention? I can honestly say when I was a little kid, you know, I mean, I'd watch certain things, and actually, this is when TV was first invented. I thought everybody on TV died. Now, maybe you were smarter than me, but I wasn't that smart. And so then a few weeks later, when I see that person on TV, this is back when they had black and white TV. I know some of you have only known color. That means I'm older than you. Okay, I got it. Okay. And you see someone shout, oh my goodness, this type of thing. And then I see them next to me, and I say, that's interesting. But whether I realize it or not, it kind of tweaks something inside of me that maybe the world is more imaginary than it is real. Let's discuss this a little bit further. Let me take you to number two. Does your commitment to follow Jesus seem to falter and lose its impact when confronted with an opportunity to engage yourself in ways that may put you at risk? Ooh, I know I hit a nerve right there. I'm going to go on to number three, but I'm going to circle back around and get it, so just relax for now. Does the right thing to do get lost in the midst of things that you have decided that are not your responsibility? There's the core right there. We have dismissed ourselves from a lot of things. It's not my issue. The government needs to take care of it. They need to get more people out. They get more people on patrol and this type of thing. They need to get more scanners in airports and scanners in different places, and everything will be fine. It's just not true. So we're going to have this conversation, and I'm glad that this particular situation was placed in the Bible. And Jesus, if it's in your Bible, it's in the red letter stuff, so Jesus said it. That makes it important. Okay, it's in the red part, you know. The black stuff, you can kind of, you know, do whatever. Okay. Following Jesus will challenge our belief system of when we feel it's right, the right time to get involved. And in John chapter 1 verses, John chapter 1, 2 verses 1 and 2. Here we go. On the third day, he was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Okay, you've been invited today to be involved in an interactive discussion we're going to have about what's the right thing to do. You didn't know that, did you? Well, that's what you've been invited to do. And we must believe that Jesus by doing the things that do not seem reasonable. And so we'll go on and read a few more verses. Verses 7 through 11 says this. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw out some water out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he calls the bridegroom, and I think verses, there we go. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, or drunk well, whichever, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This is the beginning of the signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory." Now note this last part. "And his disciples believed in him." It wasn't about wine making. It was about believing in Jesus. I want to shift your thinking of a lot of the things that you've gone through, and you thought it was about this, but it was really about that. If you were thinking about, it was all about making good wine, get over it. That wasn't it. God will use any situation, but the end result of you being here today, of you being in this room, is that you'll have a stronger belief in Jesus. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. I want to strengthen your belief to the degree that when you leave here, you'll have no reservation whatsoever telling folks about Jesus. That's my job, and I want to just implant that in you. To the point where you cannot help yourself. I need to tell you something. That's what I want. So if you leave now, we'll know you're not interested. Well, we must be willing to do the things that totally defy all logical explanation, and we must respond to Jesus as a humble servant. I think we have more of an elevated opinion of ourselves than we really should. People say, "Oh, you're not all that." You're a whole lot less than that, of the all that, and less than that. I don't know how that divides up, but you ain't much. But it comes down to this. We must trust the Lord even when we do not understand what he's asking of us. That's the thing. We have this thing. We got to figure it out. What does he really mean by this? He means fill the pots with water. Doesn't need your opinion. Jesus, what's the water for? I don't need water. Nobody's thirsty here for water. They want booze. Water. They want wine. They want happy water. Okay. But here's a tagline here that will help you. "But the servants knew" is a powerful revelation given to those who choose to obey what Jesus commands. God is going to give you the inside track to what he's doing if you learn to perform as a servant. God reveals his heart, God reveals his mind, God reveals all things that are important to people who have a servant's attitude. You arrogant, pompous folks ain't gonna get nothing. Go ahead, be arrogant, pompous, just have everything your way, and there'll be nothing on the line. Because God can't trust you. He will trust people who are under his authority, who are willing to do what he asked them to do without questioning him. You should have grown up in my household. When daddy said, "Do such and such," I never asked him why. I did it because I knew if I had asked him why, it would not be to my advantage. But I was good. That did not matter. I was going to go out and play with don't bring it up. Do what he said to do. Because otherwise he had something to remind you who was in charge. To remind you that your appointment wasn't as important as you thought it was. Somebody who knows what I'm talking about, wave your hand at me. The rest of you were Spock kids. Okay, we'll be all right here shortly. When we act in faith, we allow, God will allow us to experience things that others will wonder about. The servants understood something that others could wonder how it happened. This is, all we did was what Jesus told us to do. You know, there's a miracle waiting to happen in this house today if you will do exactly what God tells you to do. Did you hear what I said? That wasn't an accidental thought. It was something I believe the Holy Spirit just downloaded to me right then. If you will believe God, God's about to do something that you never thought he could do or would do. But it depends on you being obedient to what he tells you to do. See, God doesn't have a problem. You do. All power, all that kind of thing. Well, God will reveal and work miracles through those who will walk in faith and trust in the word of the Lord. The belief of the disciples was solidified through the faithfulness of servants who chose to obey the command that really did not make sense. And here's the guys. They're invited to the feast with Jesus. I mean, to the wedding with Jesus. Ever wonder why Jesus didn't ask his disciples to do that? Ah. Because remember, his disciples are with him. John, Thaddeus, Matthew, would you go get me some water pots? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let it marinate for a while. But there's a reason. Sometimes we think we're following Jesus and we're not. We're just hanging out with him. Jesus doesn't need a homie to hang with. You won't find that in the scripture, but that's okay. The belief of the disciples was solidified through the faithfulness of servants who chose to obey a command that it really did not make sense. Jesus wants us to believe him when things seem impossible to us. Apartheid was in Africa for Lord knows how long. And one man named Nelson Mandela, who chose to just kind of go against the system and was thrown in jail for a number of years, this is what he said. Because nobody thought that it would ever turn around. Here's a quote from him. He says, "It always seems impossible until it's done." See, there are things right now, you walk through this door and say, "Oh, that's impossible." Yeah, it's impossible until it's done. You may have walked through this door, the doors today, said, "I've got this sickness, the doctor says it can't be healed. I've got this financial problem, they say it can't be solved." But it always seems impossible until God, all of a sudden, somebody walks up to you and says, "You know, God told me to give you this and this," and all of a sudden, "Oh my goodness, it took care of it." And I'm not talking about the lottery, okay? I see the numbers, 27, 6, 45. And some of you went down to and bought a ticket based on that. I'm going to leave you alone. I just need to say it and I can move on. But Jesus desires that we walk out our faith in ways that it might feel as though we are about to experience the most embarrassing thing in your life. Do you know what our problem is? My problem is, and yours. I'm letting you into my problem. It's we're afraid of being embarrassed. What if it doesn't work out? And as long as the devil can keep that hanging over your head, you will not experience believing in Jesus like he wants you to believe in him. We're being held hostage to the what if. That's marination, letting it marinate. Well, Believing in Jesus is all about trusting the words of the Lord over our logical mind and intellect, which we believe to what we believe is possible. Now, consider this. Jesus' disciples believed in him because of what they had experienced at an event they were invited to. And re-quoting what he says in verse 11, he says, and after this, his disciples, people believed in him. Over wine at a wedding? Really? It doesn't matter how impossible it seems. When the impossible becomes possible, all of a sudden your faith explodes into a realm that you thought you could never, ever embrace. Ever talk to somebody who's been healed from something incurable? And you can talk to them all day, well, I don't really think, are you sure it was that bad? Can I see the doctor's report and this type of thing? You can do whatever you want, but they know what they've experienced. See, an argument against an experience don't mean much. Blind man gets healed. He says, oh, you know, who healed you? How did this thing happen? He says, I don't know. He says, who is that man? He says, I don't know who he was, but I do know this much. Once I was blind, but now I see. You can argue all day long. But I was this, but now I'm that. And that's what God wants to do with us. Well, getting in touch with the right feelings, now we're getting into our message today, is really important. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. I'm going to go back up a verse that says, but he, wanting to justify himself, he says, who is my neighbor? Ever ask yourself that question? Who am I responsible for? We don't ask that because we want to help him. We want to ask that so we know, you know, who do we really have to deal with? And the rest of people I can dismiss. I love it when Jesus does things like this because it brings us into the world of reality. Jesus will often answer questions with life lessons that will cause us to examine the things about ourselves that need to be adjusted. And this is going to be a major adjustment for many of us, myself included. We all get to choose how we will respond to things that we're faced with. We do. You get a choice. You get stuck in traffic. You can be all mean, pound the steering wheel and do all kinds of different things. It ain't going no faster. Or then you ask yourself, why did I knew I shouldn't have taken I-5. I knew I should have taken 99. I don't know what happened. You are now on I-5. Hello? And you'll be there for a while. We look at life through lenses that are colored with, or colored, distorted, fogged, or broken by experiences that prevent us from seeing things clearly. What distorts your perspective or your point of view? I think a lot of things for me, or I think we have our lives pre-focused on things that we think or should work out a certain way. We have it already kind of predetermined in our mind how it's going to work. And then when it doesn't turn out that way, we get really frustrated. Matter of fact, and you know what happens at that particular point? It starts eroding away at our belief in Jesus. God, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this type of treatment. I don't deserve to be stuck here. Really? Could it be that God, by his divine assignment, has you in that situation to connect with someone that there's no other way he could get you to connect with, that you could be the predetermining person that could change their life forever? I want to change the way you think. Instead of being a whiner and a complainer and why me, this type of thing, he said, well, Lord, let's see, who do you have in mind? And start scanning the landscape. And I'll tell you what, if God doesn't get you out of the devil will, because he don't want you to do what you're supposed to do. Well, the story, we find it easy to find excuses not to engage ourselves with people and situations the Lord will bring across our path. What about this? Feelings move us to action, either positive or negative. Somebody say amen. There's only two choices you have. Well, say, I'm neutral. No, you're not. If you're neutral, you're negative. What? You're negative. Because you don't have impact on anything. So God did not call you to be neutral. Either you're hot or cold, or I'll spew you out of my mouth. Did Jesus say that? He don't like warm coffee. I got to tell on my wife, and I'll probably pay for this. It's okay. We go to a restaurant, she orders coffee. Do you know the first thing she asks of people? Is it fresh? She will. I mean, invariably. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But my baby don't like unfresh coffee. And after it's been sat on there for like 20 minutes, its shelf life is over, okay? Now, if you want to have, you know, bean nectar of some sort, go ahead. But she asks, is it fresh? And she says, and usually, here's what the response is. First, if it's not fresh, they'll say, well, first, oh, I just made it just a few minutes ago. Or they'll say, no, but I'll go fix you a fresh pot. That's the right answer. But you folks are sitting around drinking stale coffee because you're afraid to ask the right questions. So go ahead, help yourself. Sugar and cream can't fix it. That's all I know. Feelings will move us to action. Our God, our will is controlled by our mind and our emotions. You say, I'm just, let the will of God be done. Nope, your mind and emotions will hijack your will. We cannot assume that the priest or the Levite had no feelings, because they did. Now, if you look at the story, it doesn't give you what those feelings are. He says, but the word that he puts in there, he says, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He did not tell you why. But there was something that he saw. He says, I don't want nothing to do with this. Or this is not my responsibility. Or I'm going to be late for my appointment. There's a number of different things that happen, but he made a decision based upon what he chose to feel at that particular point, and he dismissed himself from any responsibility, and he went on the other side. How about this? Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. And that always just bothered me. I'm thinking, Jesus, why didn't you tell me what their issue was? He says, I left it blank so you can fill in your issue of why you don't get involved. And if you were to stop today and find out all the reasons why that various times you dismiss yourself from responsibility of doing various things that very likely, very probably, well, God wants you to get involved with, this could be healing for you. Well, both of them made choices that they believed were best for them at that moment, ignoring what was obviously in front of them. Because it wasn't, oh, I didn't know he was bleeding to death. I had no idea that he didn't have a ride. Really? Why don't you tell the truth and say, I don't really care. It's not my responsibility. He could have got beat up because he was bad to somebody else, and so I don't need to get involved with that particular person. Now, let me adjust this in your thinking. This is not a plea for you to get involved with every scene that you see on the street. But there are times when the Holy Spirit will say things to you. You cannot look at the situation through glazed eyes or past experience. The Holy Spirit is fresh today and will tell you either you should or you shouldn't. When he tells you you should, he will take care of you. Well, let me hasten on. Well, as believers in Jesus, we do not have the option of ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit that he may totally change our plans or schedule. Let me get to plans and schedule. That's why you got this. And it tells you all the things you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do them. It reminds you of birthdays, anniversaries. And it, you know, and if you don't get there, you can't say, oh, I had no idea. Mm-mm. You got a testimony in your pocket that will tell you you're a liar. You only have one option. Throw it away. Or start listening to what is. The Holy Spirit is greater than your cell phone. Do you get me? When your cell phone battery goes dead, he never goes dead. Oh, Lord. I know you wish you stayed home. It's too late, baby. It's too late. Fear will often prevent us from moving forward toward the action that could bring hope and life to someone. Our feelings of condescension. That's a nice word. For those of you who don't know what it means like, that's beneath me. Go do that to him. Let me call 911. Do you know what who you are right now? You are 911. Here we go. Can keep us from getting involved with people that we believe do not deserve our care or concern. Our sheer desire to pursue what we want when we want it will keep us from fulfilling God's purpose and plan for our lives. What you want when you want it can keep you from being all that Jesus wants you to be. Go a little bit further. Our personal feelings have power to overrule the right thing to do. I'm getting close, so hang in there. When we organize our life around our feelings, we have allowed the enemy to hijack our purpose and our destiny. Let me read that again for you, because this is the part that gets me in trouble and perhaps you. When we organize our life around our feelings, we have allowed the enemy to hijack our purpose and destiny. What does that mean? Negative feelings can send you down a road that will take you miles away from God's intended destination or purpose. Oh, I could never get involved with something like that. That's just not me. You know something? The Holy Spirit has your real identity. And when situations change your purpose and dimension that God has for you, you've been hijacked by the devil. Some of us go to the particular place and it seems kind of comfortable. I've never done anything like this before. Does that mean you shouldn't? Well, I just don't think I can do that. What does the Bible say? And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So all those little things you put up there as excuses, they really don't work. Well, here's one. Oh, wow. Our mood. You know what a mood is? Let me give you. A mood is simply feelings and preferences. That's all a mood is. You thought it was something mystical. I'm just not in the mood. No. Your feelings and your preferences determine your mood. Oh, I don't feel like going to such and such a place. You see what I mean? I'm just not in that space. You're moody. You're weird. But everybody that goes getting $50, all of a sudden your mood changes. And we're having a breakthrough right now. Isn't it amazing how money can change your mood? All of a sudden you get the radio with happiness. Oh, jeez. Ah, yeah. We can justify just about anything in light of what we believe is important or relevant in our world. How about this one? Anger, fear, and frustration can be signs that will let you know that there is a work that the Spirit desires to do in your soul to make you ready for your ultimate purpose and usefulness. I want to read that one again because it's important. Anger, fear, and frustration can be signs that will let you know that there is a work that the Spirit desires to do in you, in your soul, to make you ready for the ultimate purpose, for His ultimate purpose and your usefulness. How about this? God made us with our senses to feel and to discover what is really important to Him and ultimately to us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. So say, Because see, when you say, in the power of His resurrection, well, that sounds good, but the next line is killing me. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Do you realize that Jesus isn't just kind of just sail through? Yeah. The last little piece will get you. And being conformed to His death. He didn't resist anything that to prevent His death. Well, we will truly get to know Jesus embracing the suffering of others like Jesus did for us. The power of the resurrection is the fact that there had to be a death even before there, for someone who didn't deserve it. And it was imposed by those people who hated Jesus without a real cause. And how about this? The power of the resurrection is evident through both the pain and the joy of the cross that He endured. You know, here's an interesting word that I've heard people say. I've said it too. I'm no saint. Well, we know that. But I want to tell you how incorrect that is. Because that's what Jesus calls you, the saints and blah, 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 and Paul calls you saints. But how about this? Either you don't want to be, or you don't believe God can make you one. Let that marinate on you right now. Because being a saint is not based on you. It's based on your surrender to God. Or you don't want to be. You just want to act out in your flesh. Anytime you just get ticked off, you want to tell people what you think. And that's not an option that's available to you. Real quickly, let me get to this last little few points. We must choose wisely how we're going to process our feelings. Feelings can draw us closer to God. Somebody say amen. When we're worshiping and all of a sudden God will allow, we allow our feelings just to be just emoted toward God, then it just takes over in our life. How about this? Feelings can cause you to join in someone's suffering for the purpose of restoring hope that was once lost. Or how about this? Feelings are just the beginning of the journey that we must take with Jesus to the place of ministry to those who are broken. It's just the beginning. Because the Bible says this fellow says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came by, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Here's a question for you. Have you shut off compassion in your life to protect you from those people who would fraudulently misuse you or take advantage of you? Give me a couple more moments and we'll flesh that out. Well, it's interesting because we must allow ourselves to feel Holy Spirit's transferring through our lives, through our emotions, filtered by, and listen to this carefully, by God's will. I'm not going to send you out there and say, just go out there and just feel compassionate. God's will is the overarching situation. I believe that God will send us to different places and it will be his will, but we get to choose how we respond. Here's how it works. The Samaritan was moved into action based upon what he saw, felt, and purposed to do. When you see it, when you feel it, what you gonna do about it? When you allow the Holy Spirit to unlock our emotions, and the Holy Spirit is telling you, you can do something about it. I've given you resources. You have influence. And I can just imagine, he's looking at this fellow down here and he decides, he puts him on his own beast and this type of thing. He says, yeah, I remember that there's an inn that I go to often different times. And I know the guy there that I could just set the guy up and this type of thing. As he's journeying toward there, he's going in his mind. He says, this is going to be the best day for this guy. We should get excited about helping people. Not saying, oh, what a drag this is going to be. I hope I can survive. Really. We must be willing to allow the oil of the Spirit to be poured into the people's lives by our desire to attend to their suffering. And we must be willing to forsake our comfort to the benefit of others. And our willingness just to engage. I got to get to the last part of this lesson, because this is the place where we cannot get off the bus till we get this done. Our desire to be like Jesus will affirm our belief in him. And Luke 10:37 says this. Here's the question. It says, 10:37. And he said, who showed mercy on him? They asked him, who was his neighbor? He said, the one who showed mercy on him. And then this is the part that will get you. Go and do likewise. Anybody not get that? Do you need me to repeat that for you? Go and do likewise. That's not a suggestion. It's a command. So it looks like this. We must be honest with ourselves and face our fears of what it really means to believe in Jesus. We must refuse to let our habits or preferences dictate our relationship with Jesus. We must allow ourselves to experience the things that will bring us the most joy. Do you know what will bring you the most joy? Is seeing something that you've done change somebody's life destiny forever. Question, is there a greater joy that exists than leading someone into a relationship with Jesus? I don't know of any. Let me just get past the fact that, you know, patching people up. I'm talking about the real stuff now, believing in Jesus to the point where you can bring them to a place. Yeah, you've taken care of their physical needs, but now you can get into their heart and say, you know what? Jesus sent me to you not just to take care of your physical needs, but your spiritual needs, that you can know Jesus and you can live with him forever. Do you know him? Well, some people are getting it. That's the purpose. Just getting them to ER is not good enough. We must turn worship team. We must turn what grieves us, elates us, or brings us sadness or compassion to the joy of living a life of authenticity by believing in Jesus. The first expression of love, that he talks about, the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit, first one to mention is love. But what follows after that is joy. There's no greater joy than having loved someone with the power of Jesus. Well, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Our lives will be filled with the joy of believing in Jesus. Romans 15:13, that's my last scripture. Here we go. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I put a little note on the bottom of my notes. I want to give you a suggestion, because sometimes we leave here, we don't know what to do. I know that obviously people need to come to Jesus. That's a good thing. But here's something else. One of the reasons why our lives are so, I guess, lacking direction, and I found this little note, someone sent it to me, so I want to pass it on to you. Make room for what God wants to give you by letting go of 5 things that you no longer need. Make room for what God wants to give you by letting go of 5 things you no longer need. You know something? All of us are hoarders. We're hoarders. And as I said that, some of you, your mind went there already. Says, oh yeah, he's talking about this. Because you know. It's time to let go of stuff and grab hold of Jesus. See, some of the reasons why we can't help other people is we've got latched onto stuff, and stuff's latched onto us, and it's a mess. In other words, I said, let go of things you no longer need, so God can put the things in your life that really belong there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That's marinating on some folks. Actually, there's some people in your life you need to let go of. Oh, Lord, he went there. Yes, he did.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.